Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, East Coast Ed, what's up, brother?
What's up, my man? Big weekend. I almost feel like I'm going with you. I wish I was going with you. I would have gone with you if it wasn't, if Karate Combat and UFC just planned this, you know, at a different, not just right before the holidays, which is a horrible time for me, but to do anything. But
not the best time for me either, but I was able to, like I said, secure some relatively decent price tickets. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's an opportunity I can't pass up for a doubleheader weekend.
Karate Combat's first time in Vegas and UFC 296, and just before the holidays, like you said, man, I'm almost as excited as you probably are. I feel like I'm going with you, even though I'm not going with you.
I'm excited. I like it. I mean, it's for me, not being in Vegas for over a year for something is extremely long. So haven't been out there. It's kind of like my second city being out here on the West Coast. Whenever I wanted to get away, that was kind of the getaway spot. So to have such a year, which I know it doesn't sound long, but when you got used to going a couple times a year, it is. And so I'm happy to get back, but I'm glad to let the hunger build a little bit. Haven't been to a UFC event since last August, of 22. Again, big stretch for me, not attending one of their shows. So it's nice to get back to that. But I let the hunger build up a little bit because I was getting a little bit, I was getting a little bit bored. You know, when you find yourself bored, then you got to step away, or at least not step away from the sport, but step away from the live experience. It was getting a little bit.
No, but that goes for a lot of things. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I actually wrote a note to myself to mention it later. There was somebody that follows us. And they have a YouTube channel that's actually does really well. MMA Connect posted something on Twitter that they're gonna kind of like just stop doing MMA content. And they didn't really explain the reason why, but I was like, you know, I chimed in and I just said, if it's not fun for you at the end of the day, if it's not fun for you to do it anymore, then absolutely step away. So I'm glad you said that, because I mean, you and I have had the conversation enough. You know, like they mentioned something about the niche being too saturated and stuff like that, which we can agree with. I mean, there's so many like random new fucking TikTok dancing motherfuckers jumping into the game, and they're you know, accruing all these followers, and all they're doing is being self-centered goofballs, but somehow that seems to be sticking. But we do this because we fucking like it. If nobody watched, we'd still do it. Absolutely. Because we enjoy it, and we enjoy the sport. We enjoy talking to each other about it or debating about stuff, you know, and fucking up names and all the stuff we do. We enjoy doing it. So when we don't like it, I mean, and that was my reply to them. I said, when the moment one of us just doesn't like it at all anymore, that's when this podcast ends. You know what I mean? Like, when it's not fun anymore, and there's no coming back from it, then it's time to you know, pick up and do something else. So, you said a whole bunch right there when you said about like just taking a break from events, and now you're coming back with a renewed, fresh zeal and excitement.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm excited to get back into T-Mobile. I'm up top. I'm up top with my boys, you know, and my friends up there. So, we're used to it now. But I miss the camaraderie of all the friends going out there to watch the fights. I've met so many people on the road. That's how I met you, you know, and I have other friends who are going to be out there this weekend. And it's that's what helps bring it back to, cause it's like, I haven't seen you guys in a year. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's get back to what we were doing. Let's grab a beer.
Yeah. And it was at the MGM Grand Gardner. Yeah. I was out in your neck of the woods when we met, and I noticed a t-shirt or something you were wearing from the MMA community, the forum but last time I was jumping in forums for combat sports and took a picture together. And then you came out to New York and we hung out again. And now that's how this podcast got born. So.
Yep. Yeah. No. So that's the exciting thing. The other exciting thing that brings me back is the opportunity to see something new. And I know it's Karate Combat's 43rd event. I know I've watched them on TV, but it looks, I know you've been to one, you've covered them. It looks like something different. It looks like something different from all the other MMA that I could potentially see. There's an LFA also on Friday night in Vegas, but that didn't have my interest. This has my interest because it's something different. It still is only 43 events deep, so it's not, you know, we're not hitting 300. And it just looks different. I feel like there's going to be an excitement in that fight. That'll be something fresh and new to see, because it'll be, you know, whether it's the arena, whether it's the look, whether it's whatever kind of backgrounds they end up, whatever kind of perform, whatever, you know, because Karate Combat is always, you can speak to it best. Like,
yeah.
Production and stuff has been pretty freaking cool with some of the stuff they've done. And I hope that they can, I imagine they would continue that on in Vegas.
Yeah. I would say, from what I've noticed with production and stuff, from when they came up to they had the event they did here in the New York City, I want to say that was 2019 when they did that. I covered that for SureDog.com, but I've covered them a lot for my MMA news after that, and I think they've changed it a little to the, I don't know, as the venue they're at, I know nothing about it, but from what I've seen, because they do have their own like place where they held a lot of their events during COVID and with everything, I think it's somewhere in Florida, but it's they're seating for folks. And the one that I did, and the way they did it before, because back then they were still doing unique venues, like different places that they went to, and you didn't know what to expect. And then with, you know, when they have their own studio, they could do the production and the virtual background and, you know, the portal that the fighters come through and all that. I have no idea what you're in store for in Vegas, but whatever it is, I can guarantee you it's going to be unique. It's going to be new. I will suggest, just in case they do this, the way that it was when I was boots on the ground covering them in New York, I would say wear comfortable shoes. Be prepared for it to maybe be standing room, but if it's a venue where that has seating and that they have the pit in, then obviously, but like, if you see the photos or anything from back then when I covered it, you know, I'm literally just leaning against the pit and the guys are fighting right there. And that's how everybody was watching. I mean, there was cocktails. It was like rich people underground fight club. You know what I mean? It was like some 90s B movie, but but that's what they were going for. You know, that's what Karate Combat likes to try, weird new shit to, you know, draw fans in and make watching it, you know, the fights at the end of the day are the fights, and they're awesome. If you haven't watched any Karate Combat stuff, I put a link in the description to their website where the live feed for Karate Combat 43 is going to be tomorrow. You might catch Matt in the background there, depending on how close he gets to the pit. But it's something that if you haven't watched, and watch your past event, because the fights are something. I love that rule set as a everybody knows I do jiu-jitsu now, but before I did jiu-jitsu, my first love, my first hardcore, I did 11 years of Ishinru karate, and this is the truest form of karate that you'll ever see. It's not point fighting bullshit. There's no soft rules where when you knock someone out, you actually lose. You know, it's the way karate was intended to be. And I'm so excited that you're going to get to go. I guarantee you, the way you are about BKFC now, you're going to be like that after walking up Karate Combat.
That's what I'm hoping for. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for that same kind of like, okay, this is cool. Mm-hmm. This is something new. Mm-hmm. It's something different. But, you know, we mentioned new and different, but what they're giving us this weekend is kind of old school. And, you know, we've seen it twice, but it's good. It's good. It's a good retread. We get the trilogy fight between Anthony Pettis and Benson Henderson under Karate Combat rules.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty cool fight that they were able to put together. And one that I don't think it was on anybody's radar. I mean,
no, especially with mine. Yeah, no, especially with Henderson saying he was retiring from combat, and you know, which when a fighter his age says they're retiring, you know they're gonna get a thirst to come back. I mean, he was retiring from MMA, obviously, because he did see. I know he did some jiu-jitsu competitions, and I guess this came up. I mean, it's a chance for them to make some money. It's a chance for him to avenge an old, you know, score against a rival, someone he's familiar with, someone he's probably friendly with outside of when they're facing each other. When the cage door closes or the light goes green, or they say go and karate in the pit tomorrow. But man, as much as, and I really like Benson Henderson, as much as I like this fight and the hype around it, I mean I'd have to research Benson Henderson's training, but I feel like this just favors Anthony Pettis because of his I mean he's you know the Showtime pick. That's
he
all.
He just beat Roy Jones Jr. in a boxing match. Yeah, so you know his hands are on pretty well right now, old mm-hmm. Roy Jones. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. We ain't beating Roy Jones. Yeah.
So yeah. You know, I mean, you got to give him credit for that. So his hands are slick. He's always had good kicks and stuff. I mean, hell, you know, the Showtime kick was off the cage, but
yeah,
that doesn't mean that this pit might favor that. Something kind of wild, you know.
We're definitely going to see an attempt. I'm pretty sure we're going to see an attempt at it. You know, what would be crazy
is if Henderson Showtime kicked. I was just saying that that would be like the most wild thing in the history of
dude. And if that happens, I'm gonna throw myself out the window watching it here. Like, seriously, just because of how crazy it is, it's why this is exciting. The rule set changes things. You know, there is takedowns. If you don't know the karate combat rule set, folks, there are takedowns. You'll have to get it's not like a wrestling takedown. You can do trips and sweeps and stuff like that and put someone down on the ground. And you have about 5 seconds to pound them out and finish them out, and otherwise the ref jumps in, stops it, and they start fighting again. Jiu-jitsu don't matter here. I mean, maybe some framing or whatever, but this is all karate combat's fun. It's the rule set I got on their radar because I wrote an article back when Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor we're talking about fighting again. This is the rule set that I think would be the most fair for a boxer and an MMA fighter, because you take away the strength, you take away the Hoist Gracie aspects of anyone that has grappling, and you know, a great boxer, and I know this from experience, I think I talked about it on the podcast when I got my ass whipping back when I did kickboxing. I was a Golden Glove boxer that beat the shit out of me when I first kicked with my first smoker. And this is long pants kickboxing. You only had to throw a certain number of kicks. And this guy, he threw the worst 3 or 4 kicks he had to throw, and then he just boxed the shit out of me. So it's something that you could make work if you wanted to. You could really make it work. But I think that's why karate combat, Sam Alvey's in karate combat. I think that's why karate combat is just it's a nice option. And I'm glad that they've made it to 43 events. You know, COVID had me worried for them, but Adam Kovacs, who's the president of Karate Combat, is somebody that's, you know, it's from not all promoters have been there and actually trained and fought. You know, Kyle Coker had a karate background, and you could see how that affected his promoting and the things he wanted to do. Kovacs is a black belt in karate and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so he's a man after my own heart. You know, Boss Rutan's involved with Karate Combat. There's a lot of like Lyoto Machida. A lot of folks are into karate combat because it's like me. They look at it and say, "Holy shit, this is how it should have been the whole time," you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to Raymond Daniels on the card. I mean, I just watched him in a bunch of stuff, including Bellator kickboxing and Bellator MMA, and Glory. I mean, I saw him fight. I've seen him fight 5 or 6 times in person. He's he's always a show. You know, got some of the most spectacular highlights in Bellator history. Mm-hmm. With some of the stuff wasn't at those particular fights, but I mean, the highlight reel is wild with that man. So
yeah,
you know, whenever he's involved, that there's going to be a lot going on. Chinzo Machida, a name for Bellator hardcore fans that they'll recognize. Mm-hmm. He was around for a couple of years, kind of in the golden era, maybe of Bellator. Mm-hmm. And he's on the card. So I expect there to be a star studded crowd here. Like
it's at 9 o'clock my time. So I don't know what time they're doing ceremonial weigh-ins, because I know Wonder Boy is involved with Karate Combat. He's been at their events. And he's on UFC 296. He's fighting the next night. So I don't know if he's going to pop in there, show up and we've had Wonder Boy on the podcast too, but you know, that would be something. I mean, to kind of cross promote. To if you're in Vegas, it's a nice Friday. It's a nice primer for 296. But yeah, man, it's gonna be a good time. I'm really excited for you that you're going, and I'm excited to watch. I just, like I said, the link is in the description here. 9 p.m. Eastern, so that's 6 o'clock your time.
Something that just popped into my head. We didn't talk about it prior to the show, but some news that we missed since the last time we talked. What's your opinion on the PFL signing MVP and him slipping through the UFC's crack?
Did they sign him officially?
Yeah, officially he signed with the PFL.
Oh, Jesus. How'd I miss that? I know.
Yeah,
he signed because I could have sworn people were talking about Paige on some UFC card, but you know, that's them just trying to do some Sherlock Holmes shit looking at the stickers in the background. Hey, if he did sign with, I mean, not for nothing, it makes sense when you look at the, I mean, I saw other news with PFL stuff, like CJ Tuttle will be doing their PR. Mike Hogan is also signed with them. He was a Bellator executive that did a lot with like fighter relations. So I'm not surprised at all that if that's official, that to be true, because he would help facilitate. If you had a problem like I did with PFL's, PR and how they handle stuff, the people they're bringing on from Bellator are damn sure likely to fix that. CJ Tuttle does a wonderful job with PR, and Kogan helping just facilitate everything at events. Like Evie's even translated for fighters that couldn't speak, and definitely like boots on the ground people that like getting their hands dirty, and they like making sure that the product gets noticed the right way by everybody at the right time, not on fucking Thanksgiving night during dinner holding press conferences doing stupid shit like that. So looking forward to it.
I need to backtrack a little bit here. Apparently he's saying now that he hasn't signed. I thought I saw an official report, so I guess I jumped the gun slightly there. As of a couple days ago, apparently he's saying he's still flirting with PFL and the UFC.
So I know he was at their Europe event and he did some face off in the crowd, and that threw a lot of people off, and there's a lot of people that fucking jumped the gun, as people do. But I
probably saw one of those jackasses who made a fake thing and it somehow slipped into my for you instead of who I follow, and I got some kind of goony thing on Twitter. It must have been what it was, but it looked official. So somebody clearly made one of those, official fake things. But anyways, so we'll know when we know,
because people that try to claim shit and do shit like you just said, they're the fucking scum of social media, Twitter, and why poor folks like MMA Connect are thinking about hanging up their gloves. So
odd. But so anyways, let's get to the UFC this weekend. Big pay-per-view, great card, good card. We've lost some fights. I don't know if you want to update. You alerted me of another one prior to hitting the record button. So where are we at with that fight card right now?
Well, before we look at it, really quick, actually, let me remove this. Just one last thing on Karate Combat before I bring up the UFC main card. What's this guy's name? Gorjan Salav. No. What's his name?
Again? I'll let you have how it's pronounced. I have no idea. But you pointed out, he's the BKFC welterweight champion slipped into this card.
So he's on the Karate Combat card. And apparently he just signed up to fight in this card to, of his own, just like independence or whatever. But not knowing that he's, as a BKFC champion, he's not supposed to be doing stuff like that, which makes sense when you're looking at the way promotions and stuff want to. So David Feldman stripped him of his title. So he's not going to be, he'll be fighting at Karate Combat, not as a BKFC person anymore. So stripped him of the title. I don't know if he's released from the promotion. That wasn't said. That's actually my editor, Eric Kowal, over at My MMA News, broke that news like minutes before we started recording. That's when I was talking to Matt about it before we started recording. So just wanted to mention that before we get into
and he's no card. Joke. Dude's undefeated in bare knuckle fighting. So definitely a loss for BKFC potentially, and a big gain for this fight card though. So jump into the UFC.
Fun card, man.
Yeah, it is.
This is something that I'm just going to, as I scroll it up on the UFC.com on the stream here. I'm just looking at from top to bottom. This is a fun card. The prelims. you know, like Andre Feely's on the Fight Pass prelims against Lucas Almeida. That's Tahir Ulanbekov versus Cody Durden, ranked
versus ranked. Casey O'Neill versus mm-hmm. Ariana Lipsky.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun fight, you know. Cody Garbrandt, Brian Kelleher mm-hmm. on the prelims.
Yeah.
The last yeah. time she fought for a title, now she's on the prelims. Irene Aldana versus Carol Rosa, but 5 versus 9, another mm-hmm. meaningful fight that's ranked mm-hmm. on the prelims. Menda Field 14 versus Jacoby 15. Beautiful mm-hmm. matchup. Beautiful yeah. matchup set for violence in this one. Couple dudes who could either just blast each other early or gas yep. out and turn into a big slug of back and forth and see who has the better chin could easily come out of that. So the prelims are loaded with
yeah.
name after name, and it doesn't stop on the main card. You know, this is a good pay-per-view. When
yeah.
they do something good, I'll let you know. This is a good pay-per-view. This is worth the money to watch these fights. They have meaningful mm-hmm. fights. There's good fights, and there's names that you'll remember at the end of the night. That's how it should be. You know, opening now is a late replacement fight for Chigazi. Bryce Mitchell steps in to fight Josh Emmett, creating a number 6 Emmett versus number 10 Mitchell matchup. I don't want to read their records because I don't trust them. Let me.
You bring up the correct ones,
and we're gonna go with. Well, they have 16-1 for Mitchell and 18-4 for Emmett. Mitchell takes the fight, like I said, mm-hmm. late notice. You know, I'm not huge on Josh Emmett, and I don't know why. He's put on some fun fights. I know Mitchell, you know, had a you know tough fight in his previous bout, but I think actually Mitchell won his last bout, but Taporio worked him good at 282. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with Mitchell to win. I think he's gonna somehow get Emmett down to the ground.
Yeah,
and I think he's gonna make it dirty down there, and I think he might. I could see a rear naked choke victory. I really could. So I'll go with Mitchell. I'll say Mitchell by second round submission.
Yeah, he is the favorite too. They have the odds on here -225 for Mitchell. Odds by DraftKings on UFC.com, the event page on their website. And yeah, I'm with you there. I actually, when I'm looking at it, and it's not because I'm not, it's not that I dislike, I like Emmett. I just, you know, when we talk about the guard passing in this sport, he's just one of those guys that I feel like it might be time for him. I will not say that about the next fight though, because
Tony Ferguson
not for nothing. I think this is the fight that I'm mostly like main event. Like this is kind of main event for me because I'm all, let me just put my pick out there now. I don't think Tony Ferguson is doing as bad. I know he's been losing. But like when he lost to Michael Chandler, you know, Michael Chandler threw a Hail Mary kick that landed. Otherwise, Chandler was losing that fight. Ferguson, the whole thing. I mean, I don't understand why anyone would give him shit for bringing in David Goggins to help him like get through training, or whatever. Ferguson's always someone that's done other things to prepare and train for fights. And if he felt like he needed someone to help him with the mental side of things, you know, to get over the yips or whatever you call it. I know that's like a baseball term, but like, you know, to get over whatever he feels like is bringing these L's to him, and David Goggins was it, then I'm all for it. And I actually think that's a very dangerous combination, Goggins and Ferguson against this fucking beetle looking dude. I mean, and I don't dislike Paddy Pimblett. I've watched Pat Pimblett's career, Cage Warriors. Like, you know what I mean? Like I just, it's just the fandom. When fighters get these weird, goofy fandoms behind them for no reason, then it makes me not want to be their fan. You know, I know I should be more objective, whatever, but I'm also Mexican. I'm not going to go against Tony Ferguson. So, like, I'm team El Cucuy all the way. I think this is the fight where he comes back. I think he slices up Paddy Pimblett. I think he – I know Paddy Pimblett may be – he's also coming off injury with his foot too. I think these odds are probably more marketing than anything, where they have Ferguson as +250 versus Pimblett's -310. He's coming back off of foot surgery. You don't even know if he can move that great yet. Ferguson's got a height advantage, reach advantage, and he wants to win. He's had too many losses. I think this is probably the most dangerous version of Tony Ferguson that we're going to see in this ESPN era of the UFC.
Yeah, I don't disagree with really anything you say. I think Tony Ferguson's essentially done? Yes, when it comes to being a world champion. When I look at the list of people he's lost to, I mean, he's losing to a murderer's row of people. Mm-hmm. Bobby Green, okay, people can have their opinion about Bobby Green. But other than that, it's Nate Diaz, it's Chandler, it's Dariush, it's Oliveira, and it's Gaethje. I mean, there's the vast majority of this planet would lose to every single one of those guys. You know, like the vast majority of the lightweight division would lose to the majority of those guys and be 0-6 on the same run. Mm. So I feel like those losses obviously hurt him because he took beatings in a lot of those fights, mm-hmm. and he's worn down. With that said, I can't figure out how Pimblett beats him, because Pimblett gets a lot of his wins by submission. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ferguson's so washed that he's just going to give up his back and get choked out. Yeah. I mean, see that.
Charles Oliveira put him in a very nasty armbar that he did not tap from. So
yeah, what I'm saying. I the last thing that's really going to go is probably your submission defense. So like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's going anywhere for him. I think even standing, it's kind of even. Pimblett's kind of wild. There's mm-hmm. a, you know, like Ferguson could land a spinning back elbow just as easily as Pimblett can pretty much land anything on the feet.
Any of his herky jerky, yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose Pimblett could win a decision if it's kind of a stand up, kind of bore of a fight, you know, with a lot of like jab and jog and, you know, that kind of thing. I think he could, don't get me wrong, he could put out Ferguson's lights if he catches him, but mm-hmm. I'm going to go with you and I'm going to go with Ferguson. I think the money's big on Pimblett because of who he is. He's got a mm-hmm. country behind him. He's got a whole region of the world behind him. So I think that the money's coming in heavy on him. I wouldn't be surprised if that goes to almost 400 by the time of the fight, when you start mm-hmm. getting all the people that travel here to watch him fight and they get in the casinos and they start throwing money at him.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I can see that. What's he at? Maybe 310, maybe not 400, but I can see 330, 350, you know, fairly simple going up.
I might have to throw a little money on Ferguson because I feel a little too good about him. I'm getting Justin Gaethje vibes off of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, well, no, if Ferguson loses this fight, it's time to step away. Like it's seriously time to step away, because it's the UFC is not for you at that point. Like you're just going to get hurt. It's just not worth it if you do lose seven in a row and lose to Pimblett. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pimblett's kind of like got to be, for me right now, like he might have a real bright future, but we've seen in his last, his last fight, like there's holes, mm-hmm. you know, there, he's not Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's what, you know, people kind of wanted him to be. So I don't think he's there. He's still young. He could still go through the
experience. Yeah.
This could be like the Matt Brown Wonder Boy fight. This could mm-hmm. be like the Matt Brown Eric Silva fight. This could be like one of those fights where the young kid kind of takes a beating and he goes back to the drawing board and becomes a serious threat.
Yeah. I mean, just along those lines, it makes me think of even when they tried to push Yair Rodriguez early against Frankie Edgar, and Frankie Edgar dragged him.
Same thing. You know, all that's happened since that fight is Yair went back to the drawing board, mm-hmm. He's not a world champion any longer, but he got himself an interim title, mm-hmm. fought in a big world championship fight. Exactly. I mean, that's exactly how I can mm-hmm. almost see this fight going. The old dog who's kind of not supposed to win the fight mauls the young kid, and the young kid goes back.
Yeah, and I see him slicing him. Like I see like because he said something at media day yesterday. I don't know what he said tonight because we're recording this as the press conference is happening. But During media day yesterday, he was like, he's going to turn something about turning him into a bloody mess. So it sounds like the game plan is to just slice him up. And I'm like, that's a good game plan. If you know you can do that, dude, and then just be the boogeyman that you are, then do it. Oh, you're alluding to it before we move on with the rest of the card. The fights that were lost were the everyone knows about the Ian Garry Vicente Luque one, and the other one was Muslim Sokolov versus Randy Brown, and Brown also got sick. So whatever pneumonia or cold that Gary had, I guess that something's floating around in Vegas. But yeah, let's move ahead with the this is the mid fight card welterweight bout, Shavkat Rachmanov versus Stephen Thompson, who we were just talking about.
Okay, so the first thing that jumps out at me is the odds. Listen, if Rachmanov is really a 6.5-1 favorite over Wonderboy, he should be fighting for the title. No. I think Rachmanov is going to win the fight. I think he's the younger. I think he's the better MMA fighter at this point, where they're at. But there's no way in hell I would. Wonderboy at plus 470, he could land a spinning back kick. He could land to the body, to the head. He could kick out his knee and bust his knee up and the injury stoppage. 470, I put 10-20 bucks on 470 right there all day if that's what it's at the casino tomorrow. Now I'm at staying away from Rachmanov at minus 650. That's a no-win situation there.
That's
you don't see odds that big really very often. Sometimes title fights that are big mismatches,
especially in MMA.
I don't see too many 650s. So the fact that a veteran like Wonderboy, I assume they think Rachmanov
might take a nice little parlay right there. It's Ferguson Wonderboy.
I mean, I wouldn't put your house on it, but but 10 bucks kicks back probably what 120. I bet on that. At least if you take both of those guys, maybe even more. It might be 150, 160, because you're going to get 450 times your bet, and then you're going to get multiply that so times the other money you bet, and there's money to be made there. If I just think it's disrespectful to be that big of an underdog for Wonderboy. I do think Rachmanov is going to win. Like I said, undefeated, younger, less mileage, just and complete. So far, everything we've seen about him is that he's a complete MMA fighter.
And that's
what you got. And unfortunately, Wonderboy shown a weakness to be able to be taken down and kind of controlled and had the fight slowed down.
Yeah, I could see Rachmanov taking a decision here, but I wouldn't be mad if Wonderboy landed one of those spinning liver shots that he likes to
throw.
That's
what I'm saying. There's, you figure the fight's going to be on its feet at least three times, right? First, second, third round to start it, and each time Wonderboy's up, those odds, I'll take a shot. All he's got to land is one. And it could be a punch too. I mean, that's not. He took down young Whitaker, with punches. So it's not out of the question, but I got to go with Rachmanov, and I do agree that he should be the favorite, but I think that's a little beefy there. So
yeah. I hear you. And then our boy, Brandon Royval, number two for fighting the champ, Alexander Pantoja. I mean,
it's cool when you have a guy on and fight into his UFC career? Was it going into his debut? I mean, it was early on. I think maybe he had just beat Tim Elliott, maybe in his debut or something. It was a couple years ago, but to see him bounce back through that shoulder injury he had against Moreno.
Then he had an elbow thing and he still bounced back. Yeah.
And so. He just continues to be Miguel Torres 2.0.
Maybe
3 or 4.0 at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, just a spectacular fun fighter. He does have a loss to Pantoja on his record. So this is also a rematch. I'll pick Royval. I'm not going to, I'd love to see him win. The odds are fairly close. Nothing wild or crazy. Minus 192 plus 160. Obviously the favor of the champ. It's good odds. Good odds considering that the other fighter had won. Let's just get wild since nobody's really listening to my bet prediction anyway. How about we take Royval by flying armbar? There we go.
I don't know about all that. I mean, I could see him I could see a crazy scramble where he locks something in that you know catches Pantoja. I could see him winning that way, but I'm not picking against him either. I mean, he's been a guest on this podcast. I love the way he fights. I want him more to win so that we finally get a complete him versus Moreno, because that fight would literally I'd turn into like, you know, I turn into like Dr. Manhattan or something. I would change like, you know, like I would turn into pure energy just to have that fight happen completely, because that fight, that's a future pay-per-view headliner, Roy Val versus Moreno. So I want him to win because I want that to happen. They want to pack the house at the Sphere in Vegas on September 16th. Roy Val Moreno, right there. So he's got to win for that reason. I'm picking him. I don't damn the odds and all the technique and all that. I'm picking him because I want him to win.
Yeah, that's a hell of a prediction. That could be something really, really fun, cool to see.
Yeah.
Brings us to the second title fight of the night, the main event of the evening. Leon Edwards versus Colby Covington. Oh, boy. brutally honest, not a fight I'm super excited about.
No, like I said, for me, it's the Pimblett Ferguson. That's the one.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, it's a title fight. I like Colby Covington. I enjoy watching Colby Covington fight. Some of the sideshow I'm not so much into, but yeah, I enjoy watching
George Washington fight. Right now at the press conference.
You know, historically, I haven't been as interested in watching Leon Edwards fight. I know he had the knockout in a fight that he was losing, and then he dominated Usman in the rematch. So he's an incredible fighter. I saw him fight Diaz in person, and he dominated that fight until he got slapped up kind of towards the end. But won a unanimous going away decision. I think this is Covington's last chance, and I'm gonna say he just turns the kind of the world MMA world Twitter on fire and grinds out a win here. And I'm gonna say he wins by TKO elbows in fourth round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's the hammer in this matchup. I think whatever Edwards hits him with, Colby's gonna absorb it well, and walk through it and just, you know, impose his wrestling on him, control him. You know, you don't fight the fights that you fought against Kamaru Usman, who was winning the fight against Edwards before that kick got him. You don't fight those fights like that and you know, have him come close to show up to this guy that, again, Usman was beating him until Edwards landed that kick. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he just walks through him. If it's like I just referenced that Frankie Edgar, Yair Rodriguez, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens to Edwards in this fight. Colby's gimmick is so distracting. People forget that he's actually a good competitor. He's a really good fighter. I've said this to a lot of people, and it's 100% true. Everything he's done with the, you know, he wore the suit yesterday with Donald Trump's face on the back, and then today he's dressed like George Washington at the press conference, selling the whole, you know, versus the British thing. You know, like he's selling the fight well, but at the end of the day, when you take all that off of him, the dude's game to fight, man, and I think we're in for a new champion tomorrow.
Saturday,
yeah.
But I get your point. I agree. Yeah. I agree. I don't think he walks through him. I don't think this is like a 3.5 minute, you know, beat down fight. But I don't think that happens. I think it takes a little more grinding away to get to him. But I kind of see it happening. And if Edwards wins, I think it'll just be a boring dance, you know, is what I think would it be. But I don't. You know, Colby hasn't had a finish in a long time. So obviously, you know, you wouldn't think Edwards would be that candidate, but I do think that there's going to be a little, I think he's going to have a bit of a fire under him tomorrow. I think he might come out, like you said, and come out hot. So
yeah, It's been a while. So I wouldn't be surprised if he could, like you said, he comes out looking to prove something.
Yeah. So that's where we're at, folks. I'm getting on the road in the morning. Hopefully I'll be able to get some information and photos, at least, you know, some stuff out on Twitter, depending on how the arena reception is and what's going on. But either way, I look for, I'm super excited, and everybody should tune into these fights. Both nights, especially Friday night when it's free. You know, free,
no reason
free,
not
free
to
fight card. And check it out. You know, if you're new to karate combat, it might be something that catches your eye. And like I said, a week ago or the week before that, probably the week before that, the more the better. So keep bringing it. Let's not get stagnant in this sport, combat sports. Mm-hmm. And let's keep the entertainment going and some of the circus fun atmosphere that could come around, you know, something that's not just a, you know, octagon with a you know, chain link fence around it. You know, there can be other things that can be really fun. Not that the chain link fence and the octagon isn't fun, but the more the better, like I said. So until then, fans can check out the show at Combat Hour, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazal on Twitter, Carbeersall on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. Peace. Thanks for listening, everyone. Yep. And good night.